waits, he shoots, blocked, he gets it back, he shoots, knocked down, rebound, score! Brian Reeves!
Knights come in on the right wing. Here's Riley Smith in the slot, in front of shot, they score! Max Pacioretty! Right circle for Marchessault, he shoots, he scores! From the right dot, 3 goals in 4.5 minutes. 4-2 Vegas. Saved by Fleury, sliding across with his left shoulder. Knights ahead, Carrier on a break, down the slot on the backhand, he shoots, he scores! William Carrier, 5-0 Vegas.
And welcome in Game Day Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, all in studio. Big game tonight against the San Jose Sharks. And Ryan, my friend, we have a special guest to kick off the show.
Yep, so we've got Kevin Kurz, who works with The Athletic. He covers the San Jose Sharks. Kevin, how you doing today?
Good, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well. I don't know if you saw the news, but Brandon Peary was actually just reassigned to the Chicago Wolves, so it doesn't look like the San Jose Sharks are going to have to game plan for perhaps the hottest goal scorer for the Golden Knights in Brandon Peary.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, the old cliche, they're only worried about themselves, not what the opponent's doing, right?
Exactly. So, kind of along those lines, why do you think Erik Karlsson and the Sharks, kind of as a team, as a whole, struggled early on in the season?
Well, when you're, you know, talking about Erik Karlsson, obviously it was a pretty big transition. Just the type of player he is, he's such a unique talent that there was an adjustment period, obviously, for him, I think, for his teammates. I think some of us, and I might be in this boat too, maybe underestimated all the emotional stuff that was maybe involved in that in terms of, you know, moving, getting traded, the stuff with the bullying, the alleged bullying. So, you know, all that stuff maybe combined took it a little bit longer for Karlsson to get acclimated. But, you know, if you look at his recent streak, and I know it's 14 in a row with assists, it's also 15 games in his last 16 where he has at least 1 point. Well, he started that streak after his return to Ottawa on December 1st. So, you know, I tend to think that moment and that game and everything that came with that game and all the emotions involved, putting that in the rearview mirror, I think, really helped him. And one of the Sharks coaches even told me the other day, thank God that game was early because he thinks it did have an effect. So, you know, moving forward now, I think he realizes he's on the Sharks. He's on a pretty darn good team, a roster that really has a chance to make a deep run, I think, in the postseason if they continue what they're doing lately. And he's as big a part of the team right now as anyone else.
In the offseason, it seemed like Erik Karlsson was one of the biggest stories out there. He certainly was the biggest free agent available. What, in the end, do you think it is that swayed him to decide to go to San Jose instead of someplace else? I know Vegas was certainly in the mix.
Well, he got traded, so I think a lot of it was, you know, Doug Wilson went to Ottawa and spoke with Erik, with his wife, and, you know, I think he really wanted Erik to come here, not just for now, but I think he wants to get him locked up for the future, so we'll see if that happens. Karlsson's a pending unrestricted free agent, so, you know, there's not really any sort of indication one way or the other if he's going to stay or if he's going to maybe test his free agent waters, but, you know, that was a trade, so it wasn't completely up to him. But I do think, you know, anytime you're on a team and things start to go well, the team starts winning, that certainly increases your odds that you're going to keep the guy.
You know, you mentioned, or you had a piece on The Athletic kind of about three events happening in a four-day span that really turned around the season for the Sharks. Can you just kind of expand on those a little bit and just how important they've been to San Jose in their recent run of success?
Sure, yeah. Well, we talked about the one with Karlsson's return to Ottawa and getting past that. I think that really sparked him and sparked the team. And, you know, he's been their best player since then, frankly. So, you know, when that sort of moment happens, I think it's noteworthy. And then two other things happened. After the Sharks lost in Ottawa in that game that I was talking about, 6-2, was the low moment of the year. Doug Wilson held a team meeting the next morning in Montreal, which is a rare event for, you know, any general manager to talk to the team. That doesn't usually happen, and it's probably more infrequent with a guy like Doug Wilson, who doesn't really like to do that. So, you know, he held his team meeting. The team responded, won 7 out of the next 8 after that moment. And, you know, something that was really unique was when Pete DeBoer shuffled up his coaching staff, and he literally changed the primary responsibilities of three of his four assistant coaches. You know, Steve Spott went to handling the defense. Rob Zettler went up to the press box, and Dave Barr came down from the press box to handle the forwards. And, you know, that was seeing a coach change all of the responsibilities like that in the middle of the season is really unprecedented, frankly, and it seems the teams respond to that. The defenders have been more responsible. The forwards as a group have been more dangerous, and the team as a whole has been better for it.
When it comes to the two teams, both of them have a rabid fan base and a big home ice advantage because of that fan base and other factors that go in as well. But it seems like when they play each other that it gets ramped up even a little bit more amongst their fans. Where do Sharks fans and the San Jose Sharks organization, where do they look at Vegas as far as a rival, or where is that rivalry at now? Because a lot of people out here think that it's the L.A. Kings that are the rival with the Vegas Golden Knights, but I know there's a lot of people that think that maybe San Jose is the team that they like to beat the most.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering the Kings stink this year, I think it probably should be the Sharks. You know, these teams could very well meet in the playoffs again, and obviously Sharks fans certainly remember what happened last year in the second round. I'm sure they remember what happened the day after Thanksgiving when Vegas smoked them 6-0, and Evander Kane got tossed, Pete DeBoer got tossed. So that was, you know, one of the other early season low points for this Sharks team. So, you know, it's a quicker flight to Vegas than it is to L.A. if you're flying out of SJC into McCarran there. And I know plenty of Sharks fans have made that trip. I'm sure there'll be a good amount of them there tonight. So, you know, just considering the way the last game went, I think we could, you know, it'll be interesting to see tonight if we see some spillover to that into some of the emotions and maybe some of the physicality that we saw in that previous game, because I think these teams are building up quite a rivalry, and we're starting to really dislike one another. And really, you know, from the Sharks' standpoint, they've got to still prove that they can beat the Vegas Golden Knights. They haven't done that yet. And even with this run that they're on, 13-3-2, I believe it is, you'd like to see them, if you're a Sharks fan, beat the top teams. You know, the one loss in the last little while was to Calgary, and obviously they lost to Vegas in November. I think this is, I think they would, if I'm a Sharks player, I would look at this game as a little bit of a statement game, because you know this is a team that you're probably going to have to get by if you're going to win a championship this year.
You know, and I think it's kind of the same for Vegas when looking at this game against San Jose playing some of their best hockey, and just two teams that inevitably, at some point, you think down the road in the playoffs, they're going to play each other. But when it comes to Vegas and San Jose, what is it about Vegas? What have they been able to do that has led to so much success against the Sharks?
Well, that's a good question. If I go back to the playoffs last year, I think obviously Marc-Andre Fleury was better than Martin Jones in that series. That was a big reason why. The Sharks had a few more breakdowns. You know, I look at a guy like Brent Burns, who is outstanding, but for whatever reason, he seems to really struggle in that building. I mean, some of his worst games, I think, have come at T-Mobile Arena. So he's the guy I'm going to really be watching tonight. You know, and he's such a big key to this team. But, you know, in terms of everything else, I'm not quite sure. But, you know, the Sharks are a different team this year than they were last year. If you go back to the playoffs, Evander Kane was hurt in that series. He was playing through a dislocated shoulder. Obviously, they didn't have Erik Karlsson. They didn't have Joe Thornton, and, you know, Thornton's still working his way back, I know, from a few injuries. So, you know, when both teams are healthy, I think the Sharks are better, obviously, than they were last year. But, you know, Vegas, I think, should be just as dangerous as they were last year. They have another year of experience playing with one another. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a pretty good matchup, and I think it's an entertaining matchup. And I think hockey fans everywhere would love to see these two teams go at it again in April, May, or whenever it might be.
So when all is said and done, what happens at T-Mobile Arena tonight? How do the Sharks win? How do the Knights win?
Well, if the Sharks are going to win by, you know, what they've been doing lately, and that's avoiding giving up too many primary scoring chances to the opposition. That was something that was a real problem for them early on, was limiting the other team's chances. You know, they've been getting the offense. And if it's Vegas, I think what you want to do is what you really want to do is slow down the Thomas Hertl line. So I think that's, if I'm on the Golden Knights side, that's the line I'd be looking at. Thomas Hertl, Evander Kane, Jonas Donskoy, that's been the Sharks' best line since Christmas. The Golden Knights are going to have to stop those guys. And obviously, they're going to have to stop Erik Karlsson if they're going to win tonight.
All right, Kevin, well, we truly appreciate the time. Where can people find your stuff?
I'm at The Athletic, where we got a pretty good group of hockey writers there. So Hopefully, if people, you know, I know out there we got Jesse Granger who does a great job covering the Golden Knights. So I hope Vegas fans will give it a look here if they haven't subscribed already.
All right, sounds good. Look forward to seeing tonight at T-Mobile.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Kevin Kurz there, and you can also check him out on Twitter at kkurz. That's KURZNHL. So check out his stuff there and follow him.
Phenomenal writer and incredibly honest, and I think that's my favorite part about it. The fact that
it seems like a lot of the guys at the Athletic has painstakingly gone to find are guys that are honest in that and do give honest assessments.
I think you need that. You need to be able to trust that what is being reported and the stories that need to be told are being told honestly. And, you know, the insight on Erik Karlsson and just kind of how difficult that transition was, and the insight on Brent Burns and not having the blinders on. Like, when I watch Brent Burns play and I watch him play live at T-Mobile, I don't understand sometimes how Brent Burns is widely considered one of the best defensemen in the league, because he seems to have just horrible games against the Golden Knights. I don't know if it's their speed. I don't know if it's their closing speed at the offensive blue line. I don't know if they just force him into some bad plays and bad spots, but Brent Burns seems to always be on the wrong end of things at T-Mobile Arena. So for Kevin to kind of reaffirm that and talk about how important Brent Burns is going to have to be in this game kind of reinforces what I'm seeing, and you've got to like that from somebody that's in and around that team all the time.
Now, I know that you watch a ton of hockey, as do I. When I'm not covering a Golden Knights game, I sit back and I get to just enjoy the game and not have to worry about all the stats and everything else. Do you see a different Brent Burns against this team than you do against other teams? Because I know you've seen him play the Kings and the Ducks and whoever else might be on one of the channels or something like that. You might not watch the Sharks games religiously, but I know you've watched a ton of Sharks games.
I mean, last night I was watching the Sharks' last game against the Oilers kind of in preparation for, you know, today and in the pregame show later tonight. And there was one shift in which Brent Burns, it was early on in the game, so I want to say he turned the puck over about five times in one shift. And again, I'm not here to completely knock Brent Burns. He's a great player. He's one of widely considered one of the best defensemen in the league. However, he takes a lot of risks in the offensive zone. He takes a lot of risks at the blue line trying to keep pucks in, and that leaves him susceptible to turning the puck over.
If Brent Burns was a Vegas Golden Knight, which defenseman would be the most logical pairing with him?
Probably Braden McNabb. I mean, McNabb would be my decision, because you kind of just want a guy that's gonna play incredibly responsible, low-risk hockey to kind of make up for that. And, you know, Brent Burns is a really good skater. So, like, when he gets himself into trouble, it doesn't often lead to pucks in the back of the net, because he can get himself back into position. But, again, you have to take the good with the bad. The good is the guy puts up a ton of points. He eats up a ton of minutes. He's a monster to play against down low in your own zone, because he's such a big guy. But he'll be good for quite a few turnovers, and I don't think that that's going to be any different tonight. I do expect Brent Burns to turn the puck over against the Golden Knights, and tonight the Golden Knights are going to need to capitalize on it.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. We still have to get to our keys to the game, brought to us by Finley Honda North. We're going to hear from Timo Meyer as well. But earlier today, we had a chance to sit down and speak with the sheriff, Shane Knighty. Now, we do have to preface this, because at the time we did this interview, we did not know that Brandon Perry was going back to Chicago.
No, we didn't.
I mean, we literally just talked to him this morning over at City National Arena. So we didn't know. They didn't tell us. So we do bring up Brandon Perry in this interview. This was before we had that knowledge. But here, earlier today, on the phone, the sheriff, Shane Knighty. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show here with the color analyst for the Vegas Golden Knights, Shane Knighty. Shane and, of course, Dave Gosher do a great job each and every game. Shane, how you doing? Big game tonight, huh?
Yeah, excited to see this one. A little battle between the 2 and 3 seeds. And, you know, always important when it's a division rival. It always heats up. They met last year in playoffs, so San Jose probably has a little bit of angst. That combined with getting blown out in their first meeting of the year here. So I'm excited to see this game.
You know, when you look at San Jose, they've kind of been on the same trajectory this season as Vegas. They struggled a little bit early on, and then all of a sudden they found their game, and they've been pretty much unbeatable over the last little stretch. What's led to that change for San Jose?
Well, I think there's some adjustments, and you see it. They're a team, much like the Vegas Golden Knights, that got, you know, a big trade that brought somebody, you know, a high-profile player. They got Erik Karlsson, of course. You talked Max Pacioretty. I think both those players, you know, it takes a little while sometimes when they both only have been in one organization to really find their way, where they fit, how they need to play in a new team. And, you know, Karlsson's missed a couple. Pacioretty's been in and out fighting the injury bug, which just really hasn't helped. But, you know, I think those two people got comfortable. And I think they just two teams that it took a little longer than you would like for them to find their game. But they're certainly rolling. The thing I see about San Jose is a lot of depth scoring. You look at it lately, it's been, if you want a number of lines, it's been kind of their third line with Evander Kane, Hurdle, and Donskoy that have been carrying the weight here lately, early on. Pavelski, of course, 25 goals. They've got a lot of offense. They scored 36 goals over their last seven games. So goal scoring hasn't been an issue for them, and they've been defending a little bit better, and I think that's probably been, you know, a big reason for their success is they're playing their own end, because finding goals doesn't seem to be a problem.
And that amplifies what the Golden Knights are going to do defensively. And you talked about new players coming into a system and trying to kind of figure things out. Do we give Nick Holden enough credit for just how steady he's been for Vegas this year?
Well, as a former defenseman, I'm going to say no. But that said, I think he's one of those guys. And Gerard Gallant talked about it this morning when talking about Nick Holden. He says, I don't notice him. He says, that's what makes it great. He's consistent. He's solid. It's easy plays. He's not trying to do too much. He's a veteran defenseman that understands his role. He's a big guy that can be physical. He makes a real good outlet pass. He's been able to chip in offensively. You're not going to see huge numbers, although he had good numbers with the Rangers a few years ago. So he has that element, but you know, for him, he's going to be responsible defensively. I've been very impressed with him, too. I think he's been steady. He's come into this team. And for him, maybe it was a bit of a, you know, he's probably a little more excited. He got traded to Boston. Things didn't really work out there. So a chance to come in and be an important piece here on this team. And he certainly has. I really like his game. He's just a real good compliment. You look at the guys that kind of play that role, him, Derek Englund, Braden McNabb, all have good size. And the big thing is they all skate well. They skate well enough, and they make good outlet passes. And that's the key thing you need to be if you're going to be a really defensive, reliable defenseman. You got to be able to move the puck, and I think they do it well.
Shane, when it comes to somebody like Nick Holden, you mentioned that sometimes the superstars take a while to fit in with the team, but so did Nick Holden. It seemed like early on, some of the times when there was a breakdown on the defense when he was on the ice, maybe it was just because him and whomever he was teamed up with, they didn't have that comfort level and they didn't really know what to expect from their partner. Now it seems like the more games that they've played, they're more of a comfort level. Is that one of the reasons why we see that maybe the defense and everything has improved overall?
Yeah, and I don't know if I put it all on him. I just put it all on the team. They weren't good defensively early. It was a team that was missing their number one defenseman. They came in, and they had a rough start to the year. It looked like they were just there was too many big opportunities, grading opportunities, whatever you want to call it, that they gave up early in the season. And I don't put that just on one guy. I put that, you know, on a lot of the reads on the ice. So if you're a new guy and guys who know the system and played it and successfully are that half step off, that throws you off as well. So maybe it magnifies the new guys, but I thought, you know, as a team, they were just, they didn't have that quickness in the defensive end that we've seen, you know, we saw last year, and they started slow there. They gave up too many great opportunities early, and that was the reason why they had such a slow start. So that's certainly the biggest area of improvement we've seen over this seven-game winning streak is their ability to defend, the way they've been able to sort out their defensive zone. Their reads are quicker. They've got better layers that if one man's going to get beat, there's a guy there. So overall, that's probably been maybe the biggest improvement. And, you know, early on, Nick Holden, all the new guys, I think, as well as the guys that were here previously, struggled in their own end early in the season.
When it comes to Brandon Peary and it comes to him playing in his ninth game, presumably tonight, and then having to make a decision on him as to whether or not he's going to play in his 10th game, whether or not you allow him to then have to clear waivers if you need to send him down, where do you get the sense of Brandon Peary's fit on this team past tonight's game?
Well, if he continues the way he's going, he's going to stay right where he is with Tuck and Stastny. He's been playing well, and, you know, obviously, you know, a few key injuries again to this lineup, and he's come in and continued to produce. The big thing for me is we've seen Brandon Perry have success scoring. He did it 1 year in Florida. He's done it at the American Hockey League. He's maturing as a player. So goal scoring is his strength. The area to go to be a consistent and full-time NHL players, he had to, you know, improve other areas of his game. The coaching staff management have noticed that he has. I've certainly noticed that he's been a lot more responsible. I go to last game, he did a real good job dropping down, you know, to take his defenseman behind the net. I believe it was Brady Shea. Fought him off the puck, turned it around. It's those plays that have improved in his game, and that allows him to be a full-time NHL player when he can do that. The goal scoring is great. But coaches are going to look at tape, and they're not going to look just at the goals and say that's good enough. You need a complete game. Certainly, it's a good thing if you can score goals like he is. And you know, if we're really realistic, it's probably likely he's not going to continue to score at this rate over a full season. So you have to be able to complement that with plays in the other. And I think Rocky Thompson, he talked about it. I had a conversation, Dave Gosher and I, that he said he put him in positions in Chicago that he could gain that confidence defensively in the last minute of the game when they've got a one-goal lead. He's put in those situations, and that's what the American Hockey League's for, those type of guys to fill out their complete game, and it's certainly noticeable.
The Sheriff Shane Knighty joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Shane, we haven't really seen this entire team healthy for a good part of, or any part of the season for that matter. When everybody is healthy, how good can this team be?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that because I haven't seen it yet, but certainly their play, when it's easier to say that, you know, they can be really good if they play the right way. And the way they're playing now, they're plugging in different pieces. We saw that with Perry scoring a game-winning goal. Then he got sent down. Pacioretty filled in. He scored two game-winning goals in a row. So it's good when you can compliment the next man-up mentality. But this is a very good team. They've climbed themselves to second in the Pacific, and you know, one of the top teams point wise. They've got, you know, a few more games than other teams, but I'm interested to see what it'll look like if they can get completely healthy and how good they can go. They certainly got the talent. It's a matter of execution after that.
Shane, you mentioned the blowout win earlier this year against San Jose. Why is Vegas seem to have the Sharks' number?
That I don't know, because when you look at these lineups and you look at their style of play, I see two teams that play, you know, very quick. They like to pressure in all areas. They play fast. Both sides have some physicality to their lineup. To me, you look at it on paper, they both got depth. And, you know, it should equate to a real good, fast, hard hockey game. And for whatever reason, and, you know, early, I think you mentioned the San Jose had their struggles. It's one of those nights they were off. And, you know, the Golden Knights, I believe Carlson struck 14 seconds into that game, and it's pretty much over in the first. They just continued to roll. It was a tough night for San Jose, but I don't know if that's going to matter right now. That's all been washed away. This is two teams that are feeling really good about the way they're playing, and that should set up for a great game tonight.
In the Pacific Division, it seems like three teams have pretty much separated themselves at this point. Do you see that, how it ends up in the Pacific? And if so, how do they finish 1, 2, 3, or is it way too early to tell because any one of these three teams can end up winning it?
I'm not good at predictions. If I was, I'd be doing something else. This is, you know what, I see these three teams kind of separating themselves from the pack. As to where they finish 1, 2, and 3, I don't know. The goal of the outset is to get into playoff position, and if you have a chance to win your division, to win your conference, and not so much for the matchups in playoffs. I hear that a lot. You want to finish high. For me, you want to finish higher to have home ice, especially if you're the Vegas Golden Knights and you have such a strong home record. So to me, that's the importance of trying to finish as high as you can to maintain home ice. There's more pressure if you win the conference going into playoffs, but the ultimate goal is to be in playoffs. I think these three teams are certainly starting to separate themselves. We'll see when Anaheim, you know, they're a team that's had a lot of injuries all year long. If they get healthy and how they can turn it around, they've struggled. But I don't see these teams slowing down. There may be a few bumps for all of them, but I believe those will be the three atop the Pacific. I just don't know what order they'll be in.
All right, Shane. Well, we truly appreciate the time. We know you're very busy with the game day. Look forward to seeing you over at T-Mobile tonight. And, of course, I always look forward to getting over to go home and watch the replay of the game because you and Dave do a great job.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great day, guys, and we'll see you at the game.
All right. Shane Knighty there with us and getting ready for the big game tonight against San Jose.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to this game because both teams are playing extremely well. And you go into these big matchups, these big rivalry-type games, trying to assess where you're at. I mean, the Golden Knights have won 7 games in a row. San Jose is on a win streak as well. Where do these two teams stack up against each other? When they're playing their best hockey of the season, which they are right now, where are they? And San Jose isn't even completely healthy. So you have to kind of put that too. Mark-Edward Vlasic is not going to play. So missing one of their top three defensemen, how do you stack up against the San Jose Sharks?
Yeah, and it is interesting. And you know what? Injuries are part of the game. But, wow, there's been a lot of injuries. But San Jose's overcome a ton of them. Vegas has overcome a ton of them. Calgary still seems to impress me. I was watching their game against Colorado. So it does right now look like a three-team race to me. But like Shane said, the Anaheim Ducks, anytime you have John Gibson, and if you can get everybody back healthy, they could be the sleeper that could still sneak into it. But I'm not so sure that anybody's going to compete with those three teams for the top three spots.
Yeah, I'm still not sold that Anaheim's going to be around when the playoffs start. I really don't. I understand how good John Gibson is. I really do. But I just don't see anything else from that team that's leading me to believe that they are going to get a spot in the playoffs. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I'm not high on the Anaheim Ducks. I don't think that the way that they play and try to win hockey games is sustainable throughout an 82-game season.
All right. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Lots more to get to. We'll be back with more right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey.
I'm a shark fighter. I fight sharks. I fight them in the water because that's where they are. When I smell blood, I come running. Better put them in a shark cage because my life.
All right, welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Thought I'd let that go a little bit more because Chris and Ryan are just bopping their head along.
Love
to,
it. It's the Aquabats, Frank. Yeah. You like the Aquabats?
That's all I know of them.
Just say
so
yes.
I don't dislike them. Don't know them enough to say that I like them, but
assuming Evander Kane plays like Evander Kane tonight, I'm sure that we'll get to hear this song at some point during the night at T-Mobile Arena.
Big shout to Jake Wagner and DJ Joe Green. Who
These guys
always,
are the best.
They're awesome.
They really are. Yeah.
I would love to see Evander Kane go with Ryan Reeves tonight.
He's not going to. He's smarter than that, right?
But I want to see it.
I know. I want to.
I didn't say I think it's going to happen.
I
just want to see round two with Ryan Reeves and somebody.
Yeah, I don't think Evander Kane is going to go down that road, but, you know, who knows? Who knows what will happen?
He got in trouble the last game that they played.
If Valentin Zhukov has a hat trick in the first period and it's 8-0 Vegas in midway through the second, maybe Evander Kane gets kicked out of the game again. I don't know.
So
we'll see what happens.
There's a chance.
Always a chance for something.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. We're going to hear from Timo Meier in just a little bit because how cool was that today when we got done watching the Vegas Golden Knights skate? I do like it when the other teams come over to City National Arena and we get to at least preview them a little bit on the ice as well. I still don't like their jerseys or anything, whether they're practice jerseys or game jerseys, but it was cool seeing the Sharks out on the ice.
It's always weird to me, though, when teams come into town and they don't practice at the arena. Because I feel like you'd try to get yourself as familiar with the arena as you possibly can. But no, I mean, I agree with you. It's always nice to see some of the players from other teams just kind of milling about with everyone else that's there. I when we came out of the locker room, I took some pictures of Evander Kane taking shots, and he only shot about 3 pucks at me, so that was nice. And then when I was walking out through the locker rooms, I was literally walking right behind Joe Thornton, which was pretty interesting because you don't actually, like, you see him on TV, you don't actually get a feel for how big Joe Thornton is until you're walking behind him and you feel like the smallest person in the world. It's ridiculous.
With Evander Kane's personality, do you get the sense that he would have shot pucks with you even if the glass wasn't there?
Yes. I mean, I'm taking pictures of the guy. I don't know that they're used to that type of atmosphere when they're trying to practice or they have a morning skate. So, you know, always looking to take some pictures. I mean, I took pictures of the entire Sharks team overseeing the Golden Knights practice, which had all of 6 forwards on the ice. So one of which is actually in the AHL right now. So there's that. So
All right, so well, be interesting to see that lineup tonight and see. We know who's playing. We're just not 100% sure on who's playing with whom.
So if you missed it at the top of the show, because we went to Kevin Kurtz pretty quickly, Brandon Perry has been reassigned to the Chicago Wolves. He's only played 8 games, so he can play in a 9th game and then be sent down again. Once he plays in 10, he has to then clear waivers. You have other players in Oscar Lindbergh, Ryan Carpenter, Tomasz Nosek, Brad Hunt, John Merrill, that if you had to make a decision on them to go down to make room for one of Colin Miller, one of Riley Smith, Will Carrier to come back off of IR, those guys would all have to clear waivers. So, I saw Sinbin.Vegas had tweeted this out. The Golden Knights are concerned about maintaining their roster flexibility and not losing players for nothing, as opposed to putting the best lineup on the ice to win a hockey game in January. And I don't know that that's the wrong strategy. You only have one more free game with Brandon Perry. And like, I understand the desire and the need to beat the San Jose Sharks today. I get it. I totally do. But if you talk straight asset management and not losing anything before you are put in a position to where you have to absolutely lose something, I understand it.
Is this also audition time?
Well, you have to figure out what you have in Valentin Zhukov. I mean, you absolutely have to. And to be honest with you, you look at an Oscar Lindbergh, you look at a Ryan Carpenter, you look at a Tomasz Nosek. Like, those guys need to do something to separate themselves from everyone else. Because when Colin Miller gets back, when Will Carrier gets back, when Riley Smith gets back, and assuming that all of those things happen relatively close to one another, it doesn't matter that Brandon Perry's in the AHL. You're still going to have to waive somebody. You still need to create a roster spot. So someone's got to go. Unless George McPhee is using the time that he's buying himself with Brandon Perry in the AHL and not losing any players to work something out.
And there is only a handful of games before the All-Star break and then the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, you start losing some of those games, it can turn things around.
I mean, you don't
quickly.
Want to lose them all, but again, you also can't go into assuming that, well, without Brandon Perry, we're going to lose every game. I mean, you have to think that you still have the talent to go out there. I mean, they've lost bigger names than Brandon Perry and won a bunch of hockey games.
Right. You have to believe that you have a good enough team to win in the NHL day in and day out with or without Brandon Perry in your lineup. I get it. I understand that. But, you know, the other kind of part of this too is you've only got 12 healthy forwards. That's it. Like, this is what you have until Will Carrier and until Riley Smith can come off of waivers, or I'm sorry, off of injured reserve. They are 12 forwards. That's it. So we know who's playing. What the lines look like, that's another story. I think Lindbergh's going to get a shot playing with Stastny and Tuck, just because he can be put in that situation and be expected to succeed. I'm not sure where Zhukov's going to fit. I don't know what this organization wants. I don't even know that Gerard Gallant knows what he wants to see out of Valentin Zhukov tonight. I don't. But the fact that he's getting games in, it will probably be the bigger story, because you'll learn pretty quickly whether or not he can, A, play the type of hockey that the Golden Knights need him to play, and B, whether or not he can be successful.
It would be interesting to be that old proverbial fly on the wall for the coaches meeting, setting up the lineups and everything for tonight's game. But we'll find out in a little bit, because we'll be over at T-Mobile at 6:30 for the pregame. Puck drop a little after 7 p.m. Of course, Dan Duva and Gary Lawless bringing you that. All right, before we get to our keys to the game, we've talked quite a bit about San Jose.
Yep.
They were over at City National Arena earlier today. And Chris Chapman had a chance with a couple of other members of the media to speak with Timo Meier. And they started out asking him about this rivalry between Vegas and the Sharks.
Yeah, I think, we actually... We're talking about, I think we played them the most in the NHL so far. You know, we're the team they played the most. So, you know, like I said, they're a good team, and we've been, you know, struggling a little bit against them. So, you know, there's definitely a little bit of a rivalry here. And like I said, we got to find a way to beat them tonight to, you know, kind of get ourselves in a good position in the division.
They're winning a lot of games. They've won 7 straight. They've only allowed two goals or less in all 7 of those games. You guys are winning games a little bit differently. You guys are scoring a lot of goals. So is it just simply a contrast in styles tonight?
You know, I think we're both teams that like to play fast. You know, they have some skilled defense like we do. And like I said earlier, we got to make sure we don't give them too much because, you know, they're a real fast team. They're very good at transitioning. So it's going to be up to us to make sure we put pucks in right places. And, yeah, don't turn over pucks because they're going to make you pay for it.
In 2 years, they've made this building, T-Mobile Arena, a very, very tough place for visiting teams to play. What is it about this building that's just so challenging for visiting teams to come in?
I think just the energy, too. It's a real loud building. You know, they obviously feed off the energy they get from the fans. So, you know, as a visiting team, you got to, you know, stay calm at some moments where the crowd is into it. And, yeah, it's a fun place to play. You know, you can tell that people love it, love the team here, and a lot of support that they get from the fans.
Timo Meyer earlier today over at City National Arena, and thoughts on what Timo had to say and what you make about this rivalry. They are both good teams, but it does seem right now that Vegas has had the edge in this series. I know that you asked Kevin Kurz about that. What do you assess that to?
I think that you have, first of all, you have a building unlike any other in T-Mobile Arena, and the Golden Knights are very, very good at home, and that's kind of really been how they've jumped on teams. They jumped on San Jose earlier on in the year. And I think that when you look at the Sharks from earlier on this year, they were certainly a team trying to figure it out. They had three of the best defensemen in the league in one lineup in Mark-Edward Vlasic, Brent Burns, and Erik Karlsson. So you've got to figure out how to manage those minutes. And I get that it sounds ridiculous to say, well, if you're asking Erik Karlsson to play a little bit less and Brent Burns to play a little bit less and Mark-Edward Vlasic to play a little bit less, then that is going to be a hard adjustment for them. But it is, because these guys are so used to being on the ice 30 minutes a night and affecting the game and getting into their rhythm. So it takes a lot to kind of figure out what to pull from every player, how to best match them up, and then how to get the lineups and the line combinations that you want. I think Pete DeBoer is a great coach. I think he's done a great job with San Jose. And there's a ton of pressure on this team. Like, this is Stanley Cup or bust. With the Golden Knights, I mean, you can argue that it's Stanley Cup or bust. I don't really buy into that. It's year two, and you haven't been healthy all year. You had to deal with a suspension in Nate Schmidt. I mean, there are reasons why this team should have struggled early, and I think there's reasons why you can see them having a hard time in the playoffs, assuming that everyone gets healthy, and they still can't figure out chemistry because they haven't been healthy all year. But when it comes to San Jose, they've got a lot of pieces that have been around for a long time. They're an older team, not necessarily a slow team, but they are an old team. They've been together for a long time, and they've added significant pieces in Erik Karlsson. So this is Stanley Cup or bust for this team, and I think those expectations are hard to play with, especially early on in the season when you're trying to figure things out. That said, I think Vegas has really good pressure at the blue lines, and I think that's really what gets Brent Burns into danger. They can turn on those turnovers, and when you have the mobility of an Erik Karlsson and a Brent Burns, yes, you can make up for mistakes, but you can't rely on everyone else on the back end to make up for those mistakes, and I think that's really where San Jose gets into trouble.
When it comes to these two teams, one of the things that I see a big difference, and I think you see this frequently in teams that are, I'm not going to say mirror images because they do play different types of hockey games, but that are really close and they're both really good. Is it oversimplifying it to say that the bottom line in some of the games might just be the fact that Marc-Andre Fleury is better than the goaltending tandem they have in San Jose? I mean, Jones can be good when he's really good, but he's also not completely, they're not completely sold on him. Dell's hot sometimes, but he's not consistent. Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, is better in net potentially than what than what San Jose has.
Marc-Andre Fleury is a better goalie, all things equal, than Martin Jones. Now, Martin Jones is a very, very good goalie. Martin Jones is in control of his movement, but he's not the fastest goalie. He doesn't get across as quickly. He does rely a lot on kind of playing the percentages, playing the angles, and trying to put himself just in good position to have the puck hit him. So the assessment for me when it comes to Martin Jones has always been the same. Get him to move. you open them up, you're going to score. And when the Golden Knights are playing their transition game, it's a lot of three-on-twos, a lot of two-on-ones. It's a lot of movement from one side to the other. And I think that's why they found a lot of success against Martin Jones, because you do open him up naturally based on how the Golden Knights like to attack the San Jose Sharks.
So bottom line, with two teams that both have winning streaks right now, San Jose coming off a huge win where they just absolutely basically embarrassed Edmonton. Vegas has been winning, maybe not necessarily blowing teams out, but certainly winning their games. But they do have a lot of injuries, and now Brandon Peary is not on the roster tonight. What do you make of tonight's game?
I don't know. I honestly, like, I can't answer that question because
let me rephrase the question. What is the key to the game brought to us by Findlay Honda North for both clubs?
Well, for Vegas, it's playing Golden Knights hockey, and that's going to be starting with the back end. We know what's happening on defense. We know that Nate Schmidt's going to be able to move the puck. Shea Theodore is going to move the puck. John Merrill is going to need to continue to have a good game, especially when you consider the Evander Kane line for the Sharks has been very, very good. There's a lot of speed with Kane and Donskoy, so they can turn the corner and make things difficult on Holden and Merrill, but those are going to have to be kind of the pairs that stand out a little bit. And you're going to have to get smart pressure on Brent Burns. That's the main thing. When Burns is pinching, or when Burns has the puck and he is unsure of what his next play is going to be, you need to get on him. You need to close the distance. You need to get sticks on pucks and get some turnovers at the offensive blue line. Because if you do that, I think the Vegas Golden Knights can stretch out the San Jose Sharks in transition and then open up Martin Jones.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. You're home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Join us tonight, 6:30 with the pregame from T-Mobile Arena. We'll be up in Hyde Lounge once again. Then a little after 7, Dan Duva takes over for all the play-by-play action. It should be a big game, a pivotal game at this point of the season, although there's still a lot of hockey left afterwards. When we come back, Seattle's been promised some stuff with their new hockey club. And I wonder if some Vegas fans are upset because we haven't gotten necessarily the same promises. We'll tell you what the NHL has promised to Seattle when we come back to wrap it up here. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Wrapping it up, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day Thursday. Fox Sports Radio, Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. Join us tonight, 6:30 up in Hyde Lounge. Pre-game show, of course, intermission reports. And we'll be out there amongst the elements with our friends out at Beer House afterwards. Beautiful, beautiful weather in Vegas, so come on out because it's just a wonderful time to be outside and enjoy. Where can you beat January other than Vegas?
I don't think anywhere. I mean, yeah, no, nowhere. Vegas is fantastic.
Well, you know, maybe Gary Bettman thinks you can beat it in Seattle. They have a lot of rain there.
He hasn't been to Seattle recently, I would say.
Well, Gary Bettman has recently, according to some reports on NHL Network and other places, has basically promised Seattle an all-star game within 7 years of the expansion team's inaugural season. He also said that he believes the NHL draft will take place there before an all-star game comes there, and they are looking into the feasibility of an outdoor game in Seattle as well. Where's all this love for Vegas?
I think it's coming. I don't know. I think,
I shouldn't say that there's been no love here. We've had the NHL awards, and there's been a lot of other things. But how do they get an all-star game before us? We have a brand new stadium. They're renovating a dump.
This is probably not the best time to say we'll have Dave Tippett from the Seattle organization on the show next Tuesday, but we'll have Dave Tippett from the Seattle organization.
I'm sure they're
going to
do a wonderful job of making it a very nice place.
Listen, here's the deal. When you look at the Vegas Golden Knights, I mean, all they've done in year one is host the Stanley Cup Finals. So Seattle's probably not going to do that year one. Listen, I firmly believe that all of these things, maybe not the outdoor game, but all of those things, the draft and an all-star game, are going to happen in Vegas, presumably before they do in Seattle. I just think that Gary Bettman's not saying anything because you've got two more years before Seattle even comes into existence and plays their inaugural season. Vegas has a 3-year jump on this organization. I think all those things are going to come. Everyone knew the viability of Vegas. I think Seattle's viable. Seattle makes a lot of sense, but I do think that Gary Bettman, especially seeing the success of Vegas, wants to, I don't know, maybe cushion things a bit for Seattle. coming into the league.
Well,
after
they are paying $650 million, and I do want to say this too.
Yeah,
I'm saying this basically with tongue in cheek. Sure. I hear Seattle's an actually beautiful city, and I would actually like to go up there. I wouldn't mind. I hope by that time that we can work everything out. We can go up there for that All-Star game.
Be fun.
The Emerald City.
It'd be exciting. But for real though, we do have Dave Tippett scheduled to come on the show next Tuesday, about 2:30. He's going to give us 15 minutes of time, and we're going to just get into all the nuts and bolts about this next expansion draft.
And hopefully tomorrow, a special guest.
Yeah, we're just going to say it. We got George McPhee tomorrow at 2 o'clock. That's been communicated to us, so tune in tomorrow.
All right, and stay tuned right now because coming up next, it's the Dr. T.C. Martin. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey.